Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. This morning during Sunday school, we studied Luke chapter 2. And we studied the why not just practically, but doctrinally, why Jesus Christ was laid in a manger when he was born. And the reason is from the foundation of the world and through many prophecies of the Old Testament, all the way into the book of Revelation, he is, over and over again, the Lamb of God. And so it was not accidental, it was not coincidental, it was absolutely by design that he was laid in a manger. And as you see those scenes, or think about that, or receive a Christmas card portraying something like that, always remember, that's the Lamb of God. And it was because of his shed blood that we can be saved. And in Matthew chapter 2, there's another episode. And here we're dealing with the wise men. The wise men. And let's read this passage in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.'" Of course, that was a lie. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to bow before you. Lord, it is our great concern that what we accomplish here today is absolutely pleasing to you. And so we have no desire, Heavenly Father, to draw attention to ourselves at all. We have only the desire to be able to preach the words of God so that your Holy Spirit can draw the attention of all of us that are gathered here today to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be very observant of the things that you want to show us. We know there are many things in this text, a lot of which we will not discuss today, but those things that you would have us preach, we pray that you will help us to say those things that you want said and withhold on those things that you don't want said. May the saints that are gathered here today be edified. May those that need to be reproved be reproved, and those that need to be corrected and instructed, corrected and instructed. Perhaps today with us, Father, we have someone that doesn't already know the Lord Jesus Christ, who has not received the gift of Jesus Christ and therefore does not have eternal life today. I pray that as we preach, the power of the Word of God will be evident, the power of the Spirit of God will be evident, and that their minds will at least consider the things they're hearing. Father, it's easy, particularly this time of year, to be distracted. It's easy to be thinking about something that's not going on here. Easy to think about something that we were dealing with before we got here, something we'll do when we leave. But Father, we pray today that you will help us, that you will bring those thoughts into captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that for this time that we're together, at least we won't be thinking about other things than other than what your Spirit is showing us out of the words of God that are being preached today. Father, we recognize that the man behind this pulpit is nothing. You are everything. So exalt yourself and exalt your word so that when your word is magnified and you're magnified, people may see that the answers are in your word and the answers are in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we all be drawn closer to you. We ask you to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So today what we're studying is we're studying about these wise men. They've come from the east. And just to give you a little bit of perspective so you might understand why this is taking place, we don't really want, this is not the message at all, it's just something to introduce this thought to you. These men came from the east, and you might remember that many years before, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and other Jews had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and had been in the east, they'd been in Babylon. And these men, those four men that I named particularly, had been raised up high in the government of the Babylonians, and Daniel even high in the government of the Persians and the Medes who had succeeded the Babylonians. And Daniel gave a prophecy concerning the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those wise men would be able to approximate the birth of the Messiah of Israel, the birth of the King of the Jews, based upon that prophecy. And so they're coming from the east. You might also remember that when the Jews were traveling through the wilderness before they went into the Promised Land, there was a king named Balak who was king over the Midianites that hired a prophet named Balaam to curse the Jews so that this king could have an advantage in a war against Israel to try to defeat them. And Balaam gave prophecies concerning Israel, and one of the prophecies was that there would come a star out of Jacob and a scepter. Well, a scepter is for a king, it's for a ruler, and the star is what these wise men saw. You know, it was not uncommon back in the east. We see this when we read the book of Daniel, for instance, or when we read Exodus about what was going on in Egypt. It was not uncommon for kings to be advised by wise men and by counselors, by astrologers and soothsayers. Astrologers, they deal with those things that have to do with the stars and things. So these men have heard prophecy from Daniel that's been carried over from generations. They're looking at the stars to see if there are any unique things taking place. And this star appears. And they're thinking, this is further testimony of the birth of this Messiah that Daniel prophesied. We're going to find him. And so they make their journey. Now you might recognize that there are some truths in the Bible that are not similar to some of the traditions that have been established at Christmas. We say, we three kings of Orient are. These guys are not kings. They're wise men. There's not three of them. They have three gifts. There could be two. There could be a whole caravan. Doesn't say. But what we want to do is make sure that we understand that when we open the Bible, a lot of times our traditional thinking will be corrected, and we find that what we had believed to be true from the tradition that was passed down, is it really so? We used to think that there was a fat man with a white beard and red clothing. And somehow or another, there was, you know, even when you didn't have a chimney, he came down it and somehow got gifts under the trees. And then you grow up and you're like, wow, what happened? So we get corrected in a lot of our thinking. And today what we want to do is we really want to look at these wise men. And we want to see something about them in this context. We too should be wise. We too should be wise. Solomon, when he prayed, and the Lord said, I'll give you anything you want. He said, you know what I need? I need wisdom, and I need understanding to lead these people. And the Lord said, you didn't ask victory over your enemies. You didn't ask for wealth. You asked for wisdom and understanding. I'll give that to you more than to any man in the earth. And in addition to that, I'll give you the wealth, and I'll give you victory over your enemies. It was quite, and protection for your enemies. It was quite an answer to his prayer. I'm going to tell you something. Today, as we think about Christmas and, oh, what do I really want? You know what we should ask from the Lord? We should ask for wisdom. The Bible even says in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. So if you're going to be wise, there are things these wise men did that are a testimony to us, an indication that if we're doing what they did, we're wise also. And you may find during this preaching that what the Lord shows you is, hey, you're on the right track, man. Keep it up. Keep going the direction you're going, because this is what wise men do. You may also find during this preaching that you're not on that track at all. That you're not a wise man or a wise woman based upon what we see here. And you know, the thing is, don't walk away with your head down and all upset. The preacher said, I'm not wise. Receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Receive the gift of His wisdom. And become a wise man or a wise woman. And follow what you see in the text. What do we see about wise men from this text that can be beneficial to us today? And the first thing that we notice in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 is that wise men walk in the Lord's direction. In verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? So they're over here in the east. The king of the Jews is born west of them, and they start traveling in that direction. You know, that's what wise men do. When they find out that the Lord has an established direction in their lives, that the Lord has an established direction in your life, they say, you know what we're going to do? We are going to turn our attention to the Lord and walk in His direction. That's what wise men do. And listen, that becomes a lifelong objective. That becomes a life journey that I am always going to walk in the direction of the Lord. Most of us in here, if not all of us today, are saved. That is, we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have received Him by faith. We are trusting nothing but the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary to pay for our sins, to bring us into perfect fellowship with God Almighty. We're trusting His resurrection for His eternal life to be in us now and to live with Him forever in the future. We trust Jesus Christ. We are saved by His shed blood. All right, let me tell you something. Do you realize where He is now? The Bible says when He ascended up into heaven. How? Bodily, physically, they saw Him go up. Right now He's seated on the right hand of God in heaven. And so it is our objective as Christians to walk in that direction. And may I tell you something, this world is not traveling in that direction. This world, you know, if you've lived any length of time or you've studied history, this world is drifting further and further away. And so for us, we can't just stand neutrally. We can't just stand in the east, because as the world drifts away, we go with the world. You got to be like a salmon and swim upstream. You got to move in the direction of the Lord and be conscious of this fact that the Lord will give you enough light to keep moving in that direction. Those men saw a star and they knew to go to Jerusalem. So they headed in that direction. When they got there, they didn't know what else to do. But they were heading in that direction. When they got there, they found out what to do. But listen, they were always seeking the Lord in what they were doing. And wise men and wise women, listen, always seek the Lord in what they are doing. You know, I've learned something over these years of ministering and over these years of living. People get confused sometimes about how to react to opportunities that come up in life. And there are always opportunities that come up in life. There's an opportunity where to go to school. There's an opportunity where to go to work. There's an opportunity whether to travel to another city. There's the opportunity of whether to marry a certain spouse. There's the opportunity of you know, whether to change a job. All these things will come up. And here's what I've learned. What I've learned in my own life, mostly, unfortunately, by error, and watching as I've worked with other people, Christians in the ministry who are making decisions, if you are walking in the direction of the Lord and something comes into your life as an opportunity and it doesn't change your walk in the direction of the Lord but joins you in that path of direction that you know is God's direction, then that's something that easily fits into your life. But if you're moving along this direction, in the direction of the Lord, and something comes in your life that pulls you in another direction, pulls you away from the Lord, you know what I found? That doesn't fit. That changes your direction. Now, what people will often do is they change the direction for this instant thing that they desire. They get on that detour this way, and then they say, Lord, come over here and bless this. No, the Lord's in Bethlehem. He's not going to go find you where you got lost in the wilderness so that you can give Him some gifts like these men were intended to do. He says, if you want to find me, you got to keep moving in my direction and don't let things in life pull you out of my direction. Wait till those things in life join you in the direction you're going. You take a husband and a wife, and he says, I have been praying. I believe this is the direction the Lord would have me to go. Then the thing is that the wife would then follow in that direction. If she says, but honey, I don't like it over there. We're not going over there. Now you got a conflict. Now, wives don't talk like that, of course. Or do they? I don't know. You know what you got to do? You just got to pull a little harder. We are going in this direction. You know, and it may be a little tense right there. Matter of fact, it may be a lot tense right there. Matter of fact, it may really be bad right there. There may even be a little blood on the ground when this is done. But you got to keep going in the Lord's direction. You cannot. That's what wise men do. They're always, listen, wise men are always moving in the Lord's direction. Wise women are always moving in the Lord's direction. They let nothing pull them off course. So if you're wise, that's how you'll move. And if you're wise, that's how you're moving. And if you're not moving that way, take counsel in what you've heard right now and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find the Lord's direction in my life, and I'm going to go that way. You'd be wise. Be wise. I'll tell you something else we could see from the text. Wise men, not only walk in the Lord's direction, but ask counsel. They ask counsel of men who know. Now, I'm using men because they're wise men here, and I'm using men because they did ask men. But I'm not being gender specific. Wise women will do the same thing. They will ask counsel of women who know. They will ask counsel of men who know. Verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now they're going to go to the Scripture. They're going to go to the Scripture. They're not going to tradition. They're going to the Scripture. They said of him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And if you want to see that prophet, it's Micah, M-I-C-A-H, Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. There you'll see the prophecy. And here it is, "Thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel." So then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, because he wanted to know how old this child would be. And he sent them to Bethlehem. How did he know to send them to Bethlehem? Because he had gotten counsel from the Scripture. He had gotten counsel from men who knew the Scripture and passed that along to the wise men. Sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child." All the manger scenes show him in there as a baby, like the night this happened. That's not the case at all. Not the case at all. By this time, he's a young child. And by this time, he's in a house in verse 11. And so we know it could be up to 2 years old, because when Herod kills all the babies in Bethlehem, they're up to 2 years old. He got that from the wise men. Anyway, "Diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." We know that was a lie. Now listen, wise men, wise women, don't bother with counsel from people who don't know. If you go and ask somebody who doesn't know, and your direction is toward the Lord, they're not going to be able to help you. They don't have a clue how to help you figure out where to put your next step down so that you can keep moving in the right direction. But you know what I have found, and so have you, it is very common when somebody gets to a place in their life and they're not exactly sure where to go. These guys knew to go to Jerusalem. Well, the young child wasn't in Jerusalem, he was in Bethlehem. But they knew to go that far. And once they got to Jerusalem, they didn't know how to go any further. They had to ask somebody for directions. And fortunately, they asked somebody that got it from the Scripture, and they knew exactly where to go because the Scripture said, "Go to Bethlehem." Well, a lot of times in life, you may find yourself at a crossroads. You say, "I don't really know what to do here. I need to ask somebody," and you go to somebody that doesn't go to the Scriptures, that doesn't know the Lord. That person is not going to be able to give you advice that will get you further toward the Lord. They're going to get you off track. And so a wise man doesn't bother, and a wise woman doesn't bother with counsel that is not from the knowledge of God. They go to people who know God. Listen, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you don't want to go to somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ and ask him, "How do I get to Jesus Christ?" He won't be able to tell you. Why? Because he doesn't know either. See, I was raised, well, most of you know this, but just an example. I was raised in the Catholic Church. And in the Catholic Church, the way to Jesus is through the sacraments and through Mary. You do these things, these sacraments, you know, baptism and communion and confession and so forth. Do these things. You follow this catechism. You go to church. And if you don't know what to do, go ask the priest or the nun. All right. Well, if the priest is not on his way to heaven because he hasn't trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ by faith, he's not going to be able to tell you how to get further down the road toward Jesus. He's going to pull you off track. He's going to say, well, you need to get closer to Mary. It's not going to help you. And the reason it's not going to help you is that Mary's not there yet. She's still here. You say, yeah, well, they said, I know, but they didn't come up with the doctrine of the Assumption of Mary until 1952. So what did all those people do until then? See, I've looked at this myself. Now you say, why would you say that? Well, because maybe somebody here today doesn't know Jesus Christ, and you've had influence in your life like I had in my life and had a little religious training. Okay, well, I learned something that you need to know from the Scripture. Mary can't get you to heaven. She didn't shed blood for you. She can't intercede for you. She's not, I mean, her body's still in the grave. Only Jesus Christ, the Bible shows us in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit is interceding, that Jesus Christ is interceding. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 shows us that Jesus Christ is interceding for you right now. As I am preaching, Jesus Christ is next to His Father and He is interceding on your behalf that you would get saved. See, and this is all fresh on my mind. Just the other day we had a car that was out in the parking lot and we were working here, and then the doorbell rang late in the afternoon, a little before 5, and I went and there was a young lady there, and she said, I just want you to know that this car that's here is mine. It's here because I broke down and I have somebody coming to help me to fix it, but it may be here for a couple of days. I don't know, and I just don't want you to think, you know, somebody like parked a bomb here or something. And I said, well, I appreciate that very much. I said, by the way, you're at a church. I don't think the fact that you're parking in our parking lot is an accident. I think this might be providential, that God had something to do with this. And I don't think the fact that you're sitting here today is an accident. I think there may be something of God in this. And so I said, do you have a New Testament? And she goes, a new what? I don't know if I have one of those. I said, well, we do. We got a bunch of boxes of them. I'm going to get you one. I got a New Testament, and Randy heard what was going on. He started praying, called Maureen. They started praying. I'm talking to her, and I'm showing her what you're hearing now out of the gospel. And I said, I know this is so new to you. Listen, this is a woman 30-something years old, got a 9-year-old child, 4-year-old child, been in church the whole time, calls when she actually looks in the Bible from time to time, calls the nun or calls the priest for an explanation. I said, do you know anything about being born again? She said, I don't even know what that is. You know what the problem, I'm just saying. You got to get with somebody that can get you to the Scripture to show you how to get to God. That's what wise men do. That's what these men do, and that's what you need to do. And I showed her being born again has to do with receiving Jesus Christ. It has to do with a literal new birth, because you have a dead spirit until you receive Jesus Christ. Your spirit's not alive. You can't go to heaven with a dead spirit. Can't happen. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And she's like, wow. She was overwhelmed. I said, now that's enough for now. I said, take this home. Read over the underlined verses and call me in the morning. Like the doctor. That's my joke. Glad we got by that thing. So wise men, wise women walk in the Lord's direction, and they ask counsel of men and women who know, people that can point you to the Scriptures and point you in the right direction to get you to God. You know there's more false doctrine out there than there is good doctrine. And I'm not going to go through all the churches. I'm just going to give you one doctrine that's familiar to me. I was off course until I got in that book. And you'll be off course until you get in there and get Jesus Christ and get going in the Lord's direction according to the Scriptures. But that's not all. Listen, wise men, by the way, in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star I mean, they've seen it in the east, then they start traveling, they get to Jerusalem, and guess what? The star shows up again. Which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where that young child was. Wow. That's pretty cool. You know, a lot of times what I've noticed, and you've probably noticed too, you get wise counsel from the Scripture, and then you take the next step, and God will give you a confirming witness that you're in the right direction. And these wise men got that. But watch this. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, when they saw the star, woo-hoo, they rejoiced, not just a little bit, with exceeding great joy. Isn't that amazing? They hadn't even seen Jesus Christ yet. They hadn't even got there yet. Oh, they just saw the star and they're like, woo! And I mean not just a little bit, exceeding great joy. We're talking like Super Bowl touchdown and better. I mean, put it in perspective so you can get it, right? In other words, they didn't have to wait until they had arrived and seen Jesus face to face to rejoice. They could rejoice because now they knew beyond the shadow of a doubt they were going to see Him. They were heading in the right direction. They had it confirmed. It's just imminent now. They were rejoicing along the way. Listen, we're not in heaven yet. You haven't seen Jesus Christ face to face yet, but you will. If you're saved, you're going to see Him. And so that means that in spite of the fact that you haven't seen Him yet, you can start rejoicing because you know you will. You say, yeah, but I got things going on in my life that are making me kind of sad. Okay, well, you're living then. We all have those things. But hey, we also have this, the absolute confidence that once we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, woo-hoo! Baby, we're going to get there. I'm going to see Him face to face. And so Paul says to us, you know what kind of life Paul had, man? It was a rough life. He said, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. In other words, you know what people say today? Enjoy the moment. They say that. Enjoy the moment. Hey, don't worry about the end. Just enjoy the journey. I don't know anybody that should be able to enjoy the moment and enjoy the journey better than a Christian. Amen. Because we have absolute assurance. Hey, we have an expectation at the end, we can rejoice evermore. Now think about this before we move on to the next point. You remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? Cornelius was a man that was doing all these wonderful things. He was a just man. He was a devout man. He was giving money to the poor. He was praying to God always. He feared the Lord. He had a great report among the Jews. He was a good guy. But he was lost. But he was heading in the right direction, and so the Lord said, I'm going to send you somebody here with the Scripture to tell you about Jesus. And Peter showed up, just like these wise men heard from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Peter preached to him Jesus. He got saved, and you know what? He rejoiced with him and all his household. If you're here today, and you came in here a little bit plagued by life, and you don't have, I'm talking about real joy. I'm not talking about happy because you had a good time last night. I'm talking about real lasting joy. If you don't have that, you get that when you get going in the Lord's direction. Yes, sir, I am the current possessor of joy. Comes along, it's part of the package deal. Package deal. You know, you go buy an automobile and they got this whole list of things and a great big additional price to the sticker for all that. You get Jesus Christ, He's free, and you get all this love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, comfort, assurance of salvation, all that stuff, no additional charge. Wow, that's wonderful. We're just rejoicing along the way. But notice that, that's not all. Look here in verse 11. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped her. Did I read something in there that wasn't? No, they didn't worship her. See, you know, once you get your eyes in your head right and you get a little direction, you look at that and you go, wow, they didn't worship Mary. They worshiped Jesus. Now, that's helpful to a man that grew up in the religion that I grew up in. I need to know that. Listen, wise men, wise women worship the Lord Jesus and Him only. You know, when you think about these guys are wise men. They're not a whole lot of people that saw the star and remembered all those prophecies and said, we got to go to Jerusalem, the Messiah must be born. You know, they could have worshipped their wisdom. There are a lot of people that worship their wisdom. They have so many letters of the alphabet behind their name now. And they've paid a lot of money for that education. You know, MD, DHD, PhD, PQRS, TUVWX, LMNOP. Wow. And then they're like this. And you know, when you go to graduation, some of you have just gone to graduation and they've got tassels and hats and robes and ribbons and wow, you're like, wow, that must be a smart guy. Maybe not. Maybe not. Just looking pretty good. Kind of give you the idea, maybe he might be worshiping a little of his own wisdom. These guys could have too, but they didn't. And they didn't worship Herod. They came over there. Herod is the king. Man, we're coming from the east. Wow, we're in the presence of the king. Homage, 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 bow, bow, bow. They didn't do any of that. They didn't worship Herod. They don't worship the priest. The priest came and gave them the wise counsel that they needed to be able to find Jesus in Bethlehem. They didn't worship them. They didn't worship the signs. Oh, a star in heaven. You know, they're all kind of people today. They're looking up there and they're going like, wow, I wonder what my horoscope is. I don't do that because it would be a horror-scope for me. You know, wow. People say, what are your dreams? I don't do those. Could be a nightmare. None of that. They're not worshiping signs. They're not worshiping Mary. They're not worshiping priests. They're not worshiping wisdom. They're not worshiping Herod. They didn't fall down until they saw Jesus. And when they saw him, they fell down and they worshiped him. You're talking about humility in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't stand up before him. They went down. That devil was tempting Jesus Christ. And he says, you know what, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms and all the power that you can see from this mountain. And it was the power and kingdoms of the entire world. And Jesus Christ looked at him and said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil walked out of the room, or wherever they were, out of the wilderness, just left him. No, you worship Jesus Christ. And listen, for us who are saved, you know, it gets common for us to come to church and they say, okay, turn to number 201. You turn to 201 and no. Okay, turn to, you know, 409. Shut the book and don't even know what we just sang. Boy, when we have the opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, fall down and worship that man. He is worthy. He's worthy. And there are not a lot of people that worship him today. Have you noticed that? I mean, they will say his name and they'll say his father's name, but it's always like a cuss word now. Oh, man, he needs to hear from some folks that love him to kind of make up from all that bad talk he's been hearing from people. Get on our faces before God and say, they may not like you, but I love you. And I want you to know it. Worship the Lord. That's what wise people do. They worship the Lord and him only. They don't worship themselves. They don't worship their accomplishments. They worship Jesus. Matthew 2:11, notice something else. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They give their treasure as gift. Now it's interesting, he didn't say here, you know, like they open their wallet or they open their sack or something like that. These presents that they gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, these gifts that they gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, this gold, this frankincense, this myrrh, there are very specific types that are associated with these gifts. They're very prophetic. We're not going to explore those. Let me just say that what they're giving here, they may or may not have known the significance that those gifts have for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know from studying him, they have a tremendous amount. I'll just give you one example. They gave him gold. There are a lot of medals they could have given him. Silver, for instance. They gave him gold. You know why? Because that baby, that young child that was in that house, is God manifest in the flesh. And the typical metal, I can't even think of it, similitude for the Lord is gold. In the Old Testament, those precious articles of the temple that are in the Holy of Holies, they're solid gold. They're gold. They're gold actually over wood, organic and inorganic. Son of man, son of God. They're typical of Jesus Christ. They gave him gold, and man, there's something very powerful in that gift. But the Bible tells us those gifts were to them treasures. Why is that important? The beauty of being able to tell you this right now is that we're not raising money for anything. Your giving is between you and God. But here's the deal. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Paul said that he wanted the Corinthians to give to the Lord to prove the sincerity of their love. Jesus said, and Paul repeated in Acts chapter 20, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. They that sow sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. For God loveth a cheerful giver. You know why that is? Because once your treasure, whatever that is, is given to the Lord, your heart follows that treasure. And your love increases for the Lord Jesus Christ when the gift you received from Him was the most precious gift that God Almighty had to give. That was His treasure. That was His only begotten Son. When we do that for the Lord in a gift, our heart goes with that and it draws us closer to the Lord God and closer in our worship to Him. That's what those men did. We don't want to give you just a little something to, you know, drop off here as a Christmas present. We're going to give you our treasure. That's what those, and that's what wise men do. I've watched this many, many years in the ministry, seen it in our own hearts. When people get to a place where their treasure has then been transferred to the Lord, their heart goes with that, and everything else, their time, their attitude, their families, their homes, everything goes with that gift. Their affection is truly set on things above and not on things on the earth. And we live in a society today that's covetous. And that covetousness is idolatry. It does get in the way of our worship of God. Not with these guys. And not with wise men. And then finally, look at this. In chapter 2. Don't go to 11. Verse 11. We don't have to leave this text. They give, they present to Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Watch it. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. Watch it. Another way. In my life, in your life, many of us have this testimony. You were moving in a direction that brought you to the Lord. And when you met Him, you received Jesus Christ and you worshiped Him. And there you presented your life as a living sacrifice to Him. And when you left, you know what? You went out another way. You left there different than you came. When I pray for you and when I pray for me, we come to these church services here. You know what my prayer is? Lord, help us to live a different way than we came in. Help us to be different than the way we showed up. I always want to grow. I want to be corrected. I want to be reproved. I want to be instructed. I want to know how the Bible says to be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And that cannot happen if I hear it and then go out the same way that I came in. If I'm the same man going out as I was when I came in, the wisdom has done me no good. It's filled my head with knowledge, but the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. I want to go out a different way. I want to go out a different man. If you're here today and you've been struggling, Lord, how do I go? Just remember this. Today you have moved in the direction of the Lord. You have come and heard wise counsel from the Scripture. Not because of me, but because of the text. Because of what the Lord and His Holy Spirit have been doing in your life right now as I'm preaching. And you say, you know, I got some light. I heard something today. I was praying, God, give me some direction. I got that. And now I can refine my course. I've made it to Jerusalem. Now I'm going to start going toward Bethlehem. I can refine. I can change. You know, when they fly airplanes, they fly from vector to vector. You'll sometimes feel them changing course on a long flight like that. And what they're doing, they go to a point that they're supposed to go. And when they get there, they change that vector to the next point and they go there. You have just hit one of those vectors today. And the Lord said, you know what you need to do? Now you need to go that way. That's the way to me. You got to Jerusalem, now go to Bethlehem. That's the way to me. Don't go out the same person you were when you got here. That's what wise men and wise women do. They grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will say this to you. If you are here today and you have not met Jesus Christ, you've not gotten saved. You know it already. I don't have to sit down with you for 15 minutes and prove to you that you're not going to heaven in the condition you're in. You already know it. The Holy Spirit is already borne witness. There are people in here. We are on our way to heaven, not because of what we've done, not because of what we're doing, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And you may be here and thinking, you know something? This is what I've been looking for. Then do it and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and go out of here a new creature in Christ. The Bible says when we get saved, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything about our life changes. Child of God, new direction, new life. That's what wise people do. That's what wise men do. That's what wise women do. They say that is the greatest gift ever given by anybody to man. It was given by God Almighty. With that gift comes eternal life, and I want that. Amen. And then you receive Jesus Christ, and you leave here a new creature. So I say to all of us who are Christians here today, don't let anything pull you off your direction. If you're moving in the Lord's direction, do not let anything sidetrack you. You stay on that point. If you need some counsel, you go to men who know the Scripture. Go to women who know the Scripture. And just be happy. Thank God that you're on the right path. And when you come to something to worship, worship the Lord. Open your treasure and give Him gifts. And when you've had time with Jesus, you go out different than you came in, and your life will continue to grow. Father, thank you so much today for an opportunity to look in the Scriptures and see these matters. We're asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do two remarkable things in our midst, even now. First, for all these Christians that are here, all of us that are already saved, I pray, Heavenly Father, you've given us something specifically by way of application from your Holy Spirit to sharpen our understanding along this path toward Jesus Christ as we wait to see you face to face in heaven. And then for those today here, Father, that may be here that are not saved, oh God, I do not have the voice of persuasion. I do not have the voice of sales. I'm just a preacher. With your word, and your word is powerful, and with your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit is powerful. If you've got somebody in here today that's lost, Lord, would you please, by your Holy Spirit, reprove them so that they know that what they heard is true, that righteousness is only in Jesus Christ, that judgment is coming, and without your Son, they cannot get to heaven. And that Father, you would reprove them of sin, that they haven't believed on you yet, but they can today. If you'll do that, Father, and we offer an invitation, perhaps there's somebody here today that will receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and be saved. So I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us, because we can't even help ourselves. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Listen, Christians, you know, we need this wisdom. We need to keep going in the right direction. Help us. Stay on that deal. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ. Do you realize you can trust Him today? Our associate pastor, Randall Knuppel, is there in the back with his wife, Maureen. If you'd raise your hand now and say, Preacher, I want Randy to tell me about Jesus so I can make a knowledgeable decision whether to receive Him or not. He will take you right to his office. His wife will take you right to the office there, man or woman, show you how you can leave here different than you came. Is there anybody today, right now, raise your hand and say, Preacher, I want somebody to show me about Jesus Christ. I need to know that today. If that's a gift of God for me, I'm ready to receive Him. Anybody like that today? Anybody? Father, we're asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, work in the lives of the folks that are gathered here. Help those that may not know you to realize this is the greatest and simplest gift in the entire world. For those of us who are saved, Father, help us walking in that direction of the Lord, rejoicing along the way, worshiping you. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.